of you have an advent calendar at home? An advent calendar. I heard a story on the radio the other day that the whole use of advent calendars and purchasing of advent calendars is just exploding. So you can get advent calendars for just about anything. I remember the ones with the little chocolates, you know? And I would get them for my sons, and all the chocolate would be gone on the second day of December. But they also are making them with, like, you can get wine for every day of Advent, or every day of December, or nail polish for every day of December, or there's one that's like thousands of dollars, and there's jewelry for every day of December. So in the church, we don't so much use an Advent calendar as an Advent wreath, and probably some of you have those at home as well, or some candles that you light as we go through Advent. Each week, each Sunday in Advent, we light another candle, and each of the candles has a particular traditional meaning. The first candle is for hope, the second is for peace, and the third, the pink candle, is for joy. But this Advent, I've noticed that our readings seem to be stuck in hope, in God's words of hope to God's people, struggling with exile and rebuilding, with anxiety and despair, hunger and thirst, both spiritual and literal. And I have to say, lingering in the longing for hope seems appropriate this year. So many of us are living with grief and fear in our own lives and in the world around us. Many of us feel depressed or discouraged in this season. We worry for our loved ones and our future. So much of the promise of our nation seems on the verge of collapse as so many things are dismantled. More and more people are denied basic needs, such as food and shelter and health care. And so these words from the prophet Isaiah may strike a chord within us. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. Isaiah's words are addressed to the people of Israel on their return from exile. So we've spent a couple weeks now hearing the prophet speak to the people in exile. Now they're returned, they're getting what they had hoped for through generations, but it's not what they expected. The city they return to is in ruins, they are poor, and starting over is hard. There are the people who've just come back and the people who stayed and have been farming and living there, and there's a little tension between these two groups. They are weary and discouraged and grieving. And God sends Isaiah to promise nourishment for God's people, bread and drink that nourish more than the body. The bread and drink God offers is God's eternal covenant, God's promise to be with the people of Israel and bless them. And at the same time, God continues to set forth God's vision for God's people, a vision for a world in which all of God's abundance is shared. Everyone has enough to eat, everyone lives in peace, and God's chosen are a light and hope for all the nations. In the midst of this Advent season, when the culture around us is already moving at warp speed into Christmas, it is important that we listen to this invitation from God. Come, seek, return, listen. We are reminded that what makes Christmas is not the baking and the wrapping and the concerts and the cookies and all the things on the to-do list. Does anyone else have one that looks like that? But the promise and the hope of a Savior. Listen, the voice of God can be heard beneath the soundtrack of never-ending carols in the stores and all the commercials that assail us. We can do all those things if we don't let them exhaust us. They are special and fun, and only once a year after all. I wouldn't do 5 or 6 concerts every month, but this month it's really wonderful. Or we can sit out all those things if we choose. However, we are spending this season, God invites us to come, to listen, to remember in our celebration and in our stillness what really matters this season, which is love, hope, and peace. I noticed something as we read the text aloud in Bible study on Thursday. I started circling all of the imperatives in the first half of the reading, and there are a lot. Come, listen, come, eat, come, call upon, hear, seek, take delight. These words of God are filled with hope and promise, and they also offer agency to God's people who are hurting. They offer something for people to do in response. Bible professor Michael Chan writes, "This poem is clearly meant to stoke hope in dreary times, but its author also recognizes the importance of agency, of having something to do, especially in the wake of disruption and trauma. Seek, call upon, forsake, return." Isaiah 55's audience was not simply called to wait for the rain to fall. The poet conjures their participation in repairing the past and constructing the future. They are not powerless, neither are they alone. We also can use this reminder of our agency, a reminder that we are not powerless, even in the face of all that is happening in our country and our world, and sometimes makes us feel it. We have a choice to turn to God again and again as the source of our hope, our courage, and our peace. These words from Isaiah echo much of the wisdom literature of the Bible, which reminds us constantly that we have a choice to listen to God instead of the constant discord and chatter of the world around us. We know from all the prophets that God wants us to practice mercy, to care for the vulnerable among us. And God invites us to live in the world as God's people, to walk the good road, to do justice in our communities and share God's love in the world. There is so much we can do. Come, God says, listen, open your hearts to hear my promise, my mercy, and my love, and then go out and live them out in your lives. In her Advent devotions this week, Kate Bowler offered a poem which focuses on remembering what we can do, even though we can't do everything, and it often feels like we cannot do enough. It is a prayer, sometimes called Prophets of a Future Not Our Own, written by Cardinal Dearden in memory of Oscar Romero. And this is just a part of the poem. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. Advent hope, Bowler says, sounds like that. Unfinished, open-handed, liberated from the need to control. Our work is to plant water, and trust God with the growing. To bless what is incomplete because the future is not up to us, but to the one who frees us to live and work and water and rest with the most peaceful kind of hope. So we come today to hear the word of God, which is our bread, to taste the sweet milk of song and prayer. We come to remember that God's presence in our lives is as life-giving and nourishing as rain in the desert. That amidst all the trials and challenges of life, amidst all the extra busyness and expectations of the Christmas season, and all the painful news we hear, God offers hope, which is founded in God's everlasting love and promise. Come, listen, take delight. God invites us to be part of God's vision of abundance with our own words and prayers of love, with our own acts of kindness, our own work of justice. God offers the hope that we shall go out in joy and be led back in peace, not because of what happens around us, but because of God's Spirit moving within us. Thanks be to God. Amen.